Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, and welcome to my podcast. I shouldn't say this, but my name is Katie Leeson, and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. And I never thought I'd say this, but Paris Hilton's made me really think. If you've not watched it yet, I'd definitely recommend that you do. But I watched the documentary that was on YouTube. It was absolutely fascinating. It really made me think that I would absolutely hate to be a teenager right now, growing up in this society and this world. So the Paris Hilton documentary was fascinating on a number of levels. One, she was the first ever influencer. She is the person that has coined personal brand. If you watch the documentary, you will understand that she has made a multi-million pound empire off her personal brand. The thing that absolutely threw me was she's created this persona. So the person that you see, and if you're anything like me, you would have loved The Simple Life when you were younger just watching them, but I was baffled how someone could be like that. And it turns out that she wasn't. It was all an act. She's super, super smart. And she's built a brand based on being this socialite, ditzy character. There's a lot to learn from Paris Hilton. The main thing, though, that I took from it was she said a line in it about how she wouldn't want to be a teenager today. And it got me thinking about the pressures that teenagers and young people are under, and the role that social media has to play in that. So Paris Hilton has said, I was the first influencer. She actually invented the selfie, which I found bizarre. Just crazy when you think about it. But then when I think back, I was getting strangers in bars to take pictures of me and my friends rather than me hold the camera and do it myself, until probably Paris and Britney were taking pictures of themselves on their own cameras. So she invented the selfie. She's also now built an empire around taking photos of herself and being herself and looking a certain way. And with that, you see the dark side of the pressure that that has put on her. The way that she has to look, the way that she has to portray herself, the fact that the industry is quite toxic now. She said that she hates the fact that young people can't take a photo of themselves without using a filter or an effect. If they don't use one, they hate the person staring back at them. Do they even recognize themselves anymore? As I say, the thing that really stuck with me from that documentary is that she said she couldn't even imagine being a 13-year-old girl today because of how tough it is. And I completely agree with her. And it's something that really resonated with me. And it's something that I wanted to explore more on this podcast as to ways that we as a society should try and help things for the future. Because social has got a massive role to play, but there's definite work that needs doing in helping people with their self-esteem. You'll have seen it on my LinkedIn or on my Instagram that I've talked quite a lot about turning my apps off at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. The Paris Hilton documentary and the Social Dilemma documentary actually triggered that for me, because what I realised was I was spending far too much time, one, because it's my job and I have to, but two as well, just automatically clicking on apps, mainly on Instagram really, But as soon as I switch them off, I realise that my thumb automatically goes to them, and that shocks me a little bit. So I wanted to really take a step back, and I want to control when I go on them rather than it just be a sleepwalk habit into being on these apps for hours and hours and hours. And Paris, in the documentary, said that she often spends about 16 hours a day on social media, especially in this climate. Our communication is coming from social, coming from Zoom, coming from screens. I found it incredibly important to really look at my own usage, what I was using the apps for, how I was portraying myself, and the amount of time I was spending on it. And that led me on to thinking about the damaging effects that things like filters and things like being on social for all these hours a day can actually have on our mental health. What that has meant is that I haven't been as connected to certain people, certain friends, because I've needed to protect myself in that moment. And that's a decision I made because of the amount of time that I was spending on social. And I was really grateful to watch both the Paris documentary and the Social Dilemma documentary to get me thinking in those terms, because I knew I was feeling really fatigued, but I couldn't figure out why. And I'm hoping that I can take this mindset of switching off a little bit into my life going forward, as hopefully we move out of this pandemic into the new world. Instagram it's been tied to anxiety and depressive symptoms on so many occasions, but also to concerns such as anxiety related to physical appearance, increased body dissatisfaction and lower self-esteem. And now that we're spending more minutes on these platforms, we can assume that these concerns have not only remained, but must have increased. Instagram for me is a way of seeing what's going on in my friend's life. But there's a definite feeling that I have about comparison. It's something that I've struggled with throughout my whole life. It's like looking at, but even before social media, is looking at what other people have got and thinking, why have I not got the same? And I think that's because I'm a little bit too hard on myself. I don't look at the positives in my life. I look at the things that I'm lacking rather than things that I do have. And seeing the therapist a couple of years ago about that really helped me in terms of that comparison culture. But Instagram definitely exasperates it. So there are certain occasions where I feel, especially on what I used to term a sad Sunday. So if I didn't have plans on a Sunday and my friends were all out and about doing something with their families and their kids, that used to make me feel quite inadequate. But something else that I've taken out of this year is the need to be able to switch off and just rest. I'm a bit of a one for not slowing down and not being able to just sit, and I have to constantly be doing something. And that's how I make social media more enjoyable for myself. I go on and I have a look at what's going on there, but I also limit my exposure to it because, one, I don't want to spend hours comparing my life to someone else. Two, I want to make sure that I'm living in the moment. I don't use filters personally. It's not something that I do. If you go on my Instagram, I'm quite real and raw. You also see a picture of me when I was 15. And Adam, who edits the podcast, laughed at me before because he thought I was like 12 in the picture, but actually I was 15. And that girl there, if filters and social media were prevalent, I think it would have had a bigger impact on me because I was very self-conscious as a child anyway. So that exposure to being able to make yourself look better and wait for the likes to come in as a validation for your self-worth, I think is very, very dangerous. Facetune is obviously incredibly popular with young people. It's the photo editing app and it lets you smooth your skin, whiten your teeth, change the shape of your facial features, amongst many other things that totally skew the way you look. And Facetune's parent company, Lightrix, reported that as social distancing began, use of its apps increased by 20%. Plus, people spent more than 25% more time than usual editing their photos in lockdown. That's on top of Facetune's already outsized influence. So to give you an idea, in late 2018, the company also reported 100 million downloads across its apps. And Facetune is the most popular one. And there are 1 billion people using built-in face perfectors across Facebook, Instagram, and Messenger. These effects also exist on apps like Snapchat and TikTok. That means there's a hell of a lot of people who are putting themselves out there with really unrealistic images of themselves, not just to themselves, but also to the people that see them. And a UK-wide survey of teenagers, so 13 to 19-year-olds, last year revealed that one in four girls and one in 10 boys had edited a photo of themselves in order to change their face or body shape because of concerns about their body image. And amongst young adults aged 18 to 24, more than one in three felt the shame about their body image in the previous 12 months. And one in four said that they felt so stressed by body image and appearance that they felt overwhelmed and out of control by it. These stats really worry me because, as I say, Katie at age 15, I just can't imagine what it must be like for teenagers today to have that immense pressure of not only your immediate circle of wanting to fit in, which is what the 15-year-old Katie was desperate to do, but also you've got the whole wide internet world that you're curating through social media and your social media network. And the shocking thing about it is that not everyone recognises that photos are edited. So people recognise that edited photos only about 60 to 65% of the time. And according to one study, 12% of photos tagged hashtag no filter were actually filtered. So people are still filtering even on things that they're trying to look natural on. So young, impressionable and vulnerable young people don't even realise that photos have been edited to be completely unrealistic and unachievable. They think that it's just the norm and they're growing up thinking that they'll never achieve that sort of beauty that this social media society is saying is the norm and what people should be aiming for. It's instilling a mindset that they'll never be good enough. As I say, I don't use filters. It's not something that I do. I think being on camera so much, there's no point in me using filters because you know what I look like. To be fair, we do use lighting. We use things that try and make me look a little bit more awake, but I don't alter my facial appearance. We will edit to make me look like I'm not half asleep, but we won't edit to make my face shape completely different. Does it make me self-conscious? Yes, it does. Do I look at filters and test them out at home? Yes, I do, but I won't use them. My whole thing is being open and honest, and I don't think it'd be right of me to change the way that I look on my filters to appear different to the wider world, because that'd go against the very fabric of why I speak out publicly on so many topics. The fact that there's so many more people editing their photos now, there's been a 41% rise in non-surgical treatments such as fillers and Botox since 2016, leading to an industry worth $2.75 billion in the UK. Lip augmentation procedures have increased by 71% since 2000. And a recent study conducted by a London-based cosmetic surgeon found that the last 2 years, there've been a 2-year drop in the average age of those seeking facial surgery. And according to plastic surgeons, patients are no longer bringing in photos of celebrities, which is what it used to be. They're bringing in pictures of themselves, of their selfies, with the filters on that look like the perfect version of themselves. So now people are wanting to look like an edited selfie. It really worries me. Again, I'll go back to that picture of me that's on my Instagram of when I was 15. The difference, if you look through those photos, you've got me when I was 15, me when I was 18, me when I was 21, and then me now. My face has naturally changed, and I think if I'd gone down the route of Botox and fillers at that age because of pressures to look a certain way, I dread to think what my face would look like now. Wanting to use Botox when you've got no wrinkles, it just confuses me so much. People using surgical and non-surgical treatments to change their appearance, I think it personally is linked to the rise in mental health issues in young people. And in 2018, one in eight people under the age of 19 had a mental health disorder, and the suicide rate for females under 25, who are the key demographic of Instagram users, has increased by nearly 94% since 2012 to its highest level. 83% of young people with mental health needs said lockdown was making them feel worse. As well as the pressures of social media, young people have got so much to worry about right now too. Lockdown, not being able to go to school, not being able to see family and friends or hug their grandparents, spending more time on social media in that fantasy world that's curated and created to look a certain way, and less time in reality, living in the moment. So they're comparing themselves to what they're seeing on social that other people are doing, and then can't actually go out and fulfill that themselves because we're all in different lockdown arrangements. It's the perception of what's normal is being completely distorted. There needs to be better education. So we need to be educating children on the sensible usage of social media. The fact that the algorithm is there and you create your own world of what you see. It's about who you follow and how you use it. There are so many positives to social media. It can be a place of education, inspiration, and support if used in the right way, as well as collaboration. There should be more in terms of body confidence and mental health education in schools. I fully believe that we're not doing enough to help support young people in education with their mental health, with their approach to their own body image, and there needs to be more done about it. I would never say that social media should be banned for young people because of the positives that we can get out of it. I'm incredibly proud of using my social media platform to be able to talk about things to help other people. The episode that I did on my miscarriage, I've had messages from people saying how much it's helped them because it's a taboo subject that isn't talked about. If social media wasn't around and we weren't using it in the right way to make people feel better, then I dread to think what other people would who are going through something so horrific. Where do you turn? Where do you get your information from? For me, social media is so important to help people that the problem isn't social media. The problem is the education system that's not helping these young people understand their own relationship with themselves. I didn't get any education on or teaching on how to know yourself best, how to understand your personality, how to flex in certain terms to get the most out of a situation. And I think that's a downfall of society as a whole. Influencers are taking to social media to show off their real, non-edited bodies that do not conform to social media's definition of beauty. Some are also posting Instagram versus reality photos, so their body posed in a certain way for the camera versus what it actually looks like. And we've seen a big rise in that on social, and the fact that Instagram influencers are now really trying to show the other side of what it's like to be an influencer is a positive step in the right direction. So some people to check out are AlexLight_LDN, Georgie.Clark. These people are really shining a light on what the reality is of how to get a good photo versus what it actually looks like if you pose in a different way. We need more role models on social media. There needs to be people out there that are speaking up about the realities of filtering, editing, comparison culture. We need to be monitoring screen time on children's phones and your own phone. You need to be really realistic about how much time you're spending personally if you're being impacted by your social media usage. Look at the downtime apps. Got an iPhone, go to screen time. There is a button on there that allows you to put on downtime, and it can limit your usage. You can even set it so you've only got certain apps for a certain number of hours a day to really help you change your mindset and stop that mindless scrolling. Do I think that filters and apps should be age restricted? No, I don't. But I do think that advertising to them should be. So a group of experts led by the Mental Health Foundation are urging big tech firms to introduce and enforce restrictions for image editing technology, as some apps are thought to be currently targeting ads at children as young as 5. To me, Personally, we've all been teenagers, and if we're told not to do something, we will always find a way to do it. And my experience is that if you are supported and you can have conversations around things, and there is an open conversation about the way you're feeling with a friend, a family member, and you're allowed to do something but understand the reality of what using filters can do, I think that's a lot more powerful than banning it altogether and creating this underground culture where teenagers will just rebel and use them anyway. But I do think that advertising should not be focused on children as young as five. There is absolutely no way that a child as young as five should have any sort of thought about their own appearance. They should just be happy children. And I think it's completely irresponsible of those technology firms that are using ads on social to target young children on their tablets. Google have removed their default selfie filters on all Pixel phones due to concerns over the effect that they might have on mental health. But again, as I say, if you stop it in certain places, people will find a way of doing it if there's no education around the right way to use it. Do I think that brands have got a responsibility in how they approach certain scenarios? Yes, I do. And I want to give praise to Rihanna and her brand Fenty for their runway show that they've recently done in New York Fashion Week, which was shown exclusively on Amazon Prime on the 20th of September. That was a stark contrast to what to fashion shows that we've seen before from the likes of Victoria's Secret. So both of those brands will probably be targeting a similar demographic. They are both going after the teenage girl market, and the Victoria's Secret's fashion show was cancelled in 2018. The company that owns Victoria's Secret said the decision was part of a move to evolve the messaging of the company. It was famous for its lack of inclusivity and diversity on the runway and narrow conceptions of what women should look like. Rihanna, in contrast, hosted her Savage by Fenty show spectacle at New York Fashion Week, and the decision to broadcast the show meant that comparisons were drawn to Victoria's Secret because the Victoria's Secret show was always televised event. But the thing that was really picked up was the stark differences between the two brands. Rihanna's show demonstrated a body positive, size inclusive approach to lingerie that celebrated and empowered a diverse spectrum of women. Her models, who were all from different ethnicities, shapes and sizes, didn't simply walk down a runway. They twerked, they stomped, they danced their way through the show. It felt more real. She has triumphed where we've seen Victoria's Secret completely fade away. This is what should be done. It needs to be real. It needs to be understanding what youth culture is all about and building around that. And that's something that I think that in the industry needs to change, fashion industry especially. Things need to be real and they need to start from real people, not forced. I'm not a massive fan of these brands that do inclusive messaging by sticking in a plus-size person into their advert. I think there needs to be more done in terms of authentic messaging when it comes to body diversity and inclusion. I would absolutely hate to be under the pressures that teenagers are under today, and that especially exasperated by lockdown and feeling like you're missing out on a really vital part of their lives. The education system needs to be better. We need to support people more. We need to have open conversations about the benefits of how your social media world is cultivated and what you look at on there. It's something I'm incredibly passionate about. You can probably tell because I've really got on my high horse about it. But if we are going to do anything for the next generation and their self-esteem and their confidence as they move into adulthood, I think it's important that we take a stance against this now. I would love to hear your thoughts on this topic. I know it's quite divisive, and I'd love to hear how you think that social media could do more. What can we do more to help people be the best versions of themselves and not try and emulate an unrealistic expectation? Please go on and give us a little rating. The podcast is getting some great feedback, and I just want to say a massive thank you again for listening. And we will see you next week.